been a beautiful Lord's Day, and I'm certainly glad that you have come here at the conclusion of it to open up your Bibles as we study together for just a few moments. We are continuing our study through some of our biblical readings that we have been doing week in and week out. And we began just a couple of days ago on the book of Proverbs. And you'll be reading through the book of Proverbs over the next week or so. I've always found the book of Proverbs to be one of the most practical of all of the books that are found in the Bible. The book of Proverbs is written, I believe, probably primarily to impart wisdom unto those that are young. Wisdom is not a commodity that is exclusively the possession of those that are older. Some have an idea that wisdom is just gained through age. The reality is, there are a lot of people that have passed a lot of years in this life that don't have any wisdom at all, because they're not concerned about the things of God, nor do they know where the true source of wisdom is. There are others who may not live near as long upon this earth, but they're wise because they know where to turn for wisdom. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon is writing, as well as others, to tell us how we can be wise individuals. If you look in chapter 1 and verse 2, as the book begins, he said, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, and to perceive the words of understanding." And so Solomon, in the outset, tells us, here's the purpose for which I am writing. If we were to give a definition of the word wisdom, we might talk about the ability to take what we know and actually to make application of that in our day-to-day lives. It's interesting that the word that is translated wisdom is a word that in other passages, like Exodus chapter 35 and Exodus chapter 20, is used to describe people that are skillful in trades. Do you remember, for example, in Exodus chapter 35, as he goes through and it describes some of the different artisans that were going to play part in the building of the tabernacle and of the elements that were in the tabernacle, they wanted people that were skillful. And it's the same idea, the same root word that is translated wisdom. You know, it's one thing to know something. It's another thing to be skillful at actually putting that into practice and how it applies in our day-to-day lives. I mean, for example, if you were to come to me, I might be able to read a book and tell you something about how to perform a surgery. And yet nobody here would want me to operate on them when the time comes, because while I might have the knowledge, I don't have the skill to put that into practice. Sometimes we know God's Word, but man has not had the wisdom to see how that applies in his day-to-day life. And that's really why I think one thing that Proverbs does and Solomon does throughout this book. And Solomon certainly emphasizes that there's nothing more important in life than getting this wisdom that comes from God. The passage that Benjamin just read for us in Proverbs 4 and verse 7, the New King James Bible says that wisdom is the principal theme. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. The English Standard Version and the New American Standard rendered a little bit different. They say the beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. The Christian Standard Bible says wisdom is supreme. So get wisdom, and whatever else you get understanding. What is Solomon telling us in Proverbs chapter 4 and in verse 7? What's the meaning of that statement? The word that is translated principle or beginning is a word that, according to the Dictionary of Biblical Languages, means what is first, beginning, the best, or the first fruit. Strong says it could be the first in place, in time, order, or rank, beginning, chiefest, the principal thing, which is how it's translated, the first, the beginning, the best, or the chief. In other words, it is a word that could mean first in terms of time. And that's obviously how the New American Standard Translation and the English Standard Translation saw it. Wisdom, we're talking about wisdom being the principal thing. The beginning of wisdom is this. Here's the starting point of wisdom. On the other translation, I think probably correctly so, see Solomon's point not so much being that here's the starting point of wisdom, as much as he's saying there's nothing, son, in life that is more important than getting this wisdom. It is supreme. It is the principal thing. It is the chief thing. And I believe that's probably what fits the context of this passage better As Solomon looks back and sees what David had impressed upon him as a young child. You know, oftentimes we're amazed at Solomon's request in 1 Kings chapter 3 when God comes to Solomon and God tells Solomon, ask whatever you want and I will give it to you. And Solomon didn't ask for great power. He didn't ask for popularity. He didn't ask for wealth, though God gave him that. But he asked for wisdom. But why is it that Solomon would have made that request at that time? I think Proverbs 4 gives us some insight. Because what he says is, when I was my father's son and tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, look at verse 5, get wisdom, get understanding. Verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. In other words, David, from the time Solomon was a young child, had told Solomon there's nothing more important in life than wisdom. So that when God came to Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 3 and says, what do you want? Ask for anything. You know what Solomon thought? The most important thing is wisdom. He learned that from his father. I want to talk to you for just a little bit and laying the groundwork for some of the book of Proverbs about this principal thing, about wisdom, and why I want this wisdom that comes from God and why it is so important. Let's talk a little bit about the value of this wisdom, first of all. The value of wisdom. What makes it the most important thing? Well, this wisdom, and obviously it's wisdom that comes from God, is seen, its value is seen in some things that it's compared to in the Scriptures. The Bible tells us that wisdom is better than rubies and jewels or wealth. In Proverbs 8 and verse 11, Solomon said, wisdom is better than rubies, and the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. In Proverbs 3 and verse 15, she's more precious than rubies. She's personified as a woman in Proverbs 3, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. What Solomon is saying there, he takes things that are valuable, that a great price tag could be attached to, rubies or jewels, and he said, if you've got wisdom, you've got something more important than material things. In fact, think about whatever it is you want, whatever it is that your greatest material desire, and what Solomon says, it can't be compared to that wisdom that comes from God. It's better than material wealth. Not only is it better than material wealth, it's better than rubies and jewels, it's better than gold and silver. Proverbs 16 and verse 16, how much better to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. So you have a choice. I can be wise or I can be rich. Now, it's not saying we have to have that choice, but the point is, if that's a choice that was given to you, what's more important? Well, wisdom is more important. It's better than physical strength. It's better than strength or weapons of war. Ecclesiastes 9, talking particularly about kings, he said, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised and his words aren't heard. And then in verse 18, it's better than weapons of war. One thing Solomon is pointing out in that passage, by the way, in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, I think, is how confused men often are. Wisdom is better than strength. And in order to be valued, but in spite of that, if you've got somebody that's poor and wise, they tend to be ignored in favor of those that have more power and more money and more might, even though they may have more wisdom than they do. I mean, you think about it. A poor person may just easily be dismissed, even though what they have is really more valuable than the wealthy and the strong. I tell you, it is so valuable that it should never be sold. You ever heard somebody say that everything has a price tag attached to it? The idea is that we may have things that are very valuable to us. It may be a possession that somebody's given to us. It may be our home. But somebody says, at the right price, I'd be willing to sell. Or everything is for sale at the right price. What Solomon is saying in Proverbs 23 and verse 23 is there is no price at which wisdom should be sold. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also, listen, wisdom and instruction and understanding. If you get this wisdom, don't turn loose and don't sell it no matter what the price is. It is, to put it another way, invaluable. You remember I remember for years was the MasterCard commercials that go through and they'd talk about how much this cost and how much that cost. And then it would talk about something at the end and say it's priceless. And that's really what Solomon is saying about wisdom. Wisdom is what? It is priceless. You can't put a price tag on how important it is. Its value is seen in what it's compared to. And the fact it should never be sold. But its wisdom is also seen in what it does for us when I possess this. Consider with me very quickly a few things that wisdom does for us. Number one, if I have wisdom, I can avoid evil. Look at Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 12. In fact, just open your Bibles up there to Proverbs chapter 2. He said, when wisdom enters your heart in verse 10 and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you and understanding will keep you. To keep you or deliver you from the way of evil. You know, Solomon points out, I think, to his son over and again throughout the book of Proverbs that the devil is out to get us. He may not say it in so many words, but there's just so much sin and so much temptation around us. There's the adulterous woman we're going to talk about in just a moment. There is the drinking. Sin is all around us. And the devil is doing his best in order to try to get us to follow him and forsake the Lord. And yet I think what Solomon is telling his son, if you get the wisdom that comes from God, it'll take you away from evil and show you the way of escape. You can avoid sin in your life if you just listen what to what God has to say. Not only that, in another way, he talks very specifically, it'll deliver you from the adulteress. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 16. You want to maintain your moral purity? You want to maintain your purity in your marriage relationship? Be faithful to your husband. Be faithful to your wife. I've never known a couple yet that got married with the idea that they wanted immorality to enter their marriage. You know, whenever I have sat down and talked to anybody that got married, they always approach it with the idea, this is, at least among those that I associate with, this is going to be for life. Unfortunately, however, many of those that I have known have had marriages that ended eventually because of immorality. And I think what Solomon is saying is this wisdom God has given to you, if you'll take it and you'll follow it, it'll deliver you from the immoral woman. It'll keep your path and your morality pure. Let me just say this. Anytime, mark that down, underline that word, anytime somebody falls prey to immorality, it is because they failed to listen to the wisdom that God gave in the Scriptures. He said, if you listen to this wisdom, what? It'll deliver you from immorality. Not only will it deliver you from immorality, it'll cause you to walk in the way that is good. It's not just that you avoid sin, but you do the right thing, a way that is good. Paths of uprighteousness in verse 20. That's why you want this wisdom. It helps to contribute to a long life. One of the things that Solomon does in the book of Proverbs that I think is so important is point out to these young people that is particularly directed to that serving God and possessing the wisdom that comes from God is not just about eternity. Is it primarily about eternity? Absolutely. We serve God so that we can get to heaven and because there is a judgment day that is coming. But I think one thing Solomon points out is that sin has an impact, listen, right now. And not only does sin have an impact right now, righteousness has an impact right now. Now, you want to live a happy life? You want to live a life that is for a long life? Then what do? Well, you follow the wisdom that comes. Now, that's a general rule. And what I mean by that is God is not saying that if somebody dies young, that means they're not serving the Lord. That's not all what He means. But He's given a general principle. In fact, if I was to put on the board, I don't have it with me, the things that cause premature death in our society. I mean, you think about things that cause premature death. God warns about almost every one of those things. I mean, you think about people that are drinking and driving or doing drugs or sexually transmitted diseases, even those that take their own life because they can't find happiness in this world. If they would just simply listen to the wisdom that comes from God, you know what? They'd avoid a great deal of the heartache that helps to contribute to a miserable life and sometimes even shortening their life here upon this earth. Why do I want this wisdom? Because it's going to tell me how to keep my way pure. It's going to tell me how to keep my morality, keep my marriage happy. It's going to tell me how to walk in the way that's good. It's going to make for a longer life. It's going to bring peace. Look in Proverbs chapter 3, that should be in that chapter 2, in verse 17. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and her paths are peace. There's a peace that comes from following the wisdom that comes from God, that no matter what goes on around us, we have this peace that surpasses all understanding. I've sat with individuals more than once in my life where the doctor has come in and given them some devastating news. You know, I've been there where the doctor comes in and tells the family, you know what, we went in and we looked and he's eating up with cancer and it doesn't look like he's going to live but another few days. Or it doesn't look like you're going to live much longer. And I have seen in the faces of individuals that are serving God a peace as they face death, who realize, you know what, this life may be over, but because I have followed the Lord, because I have kept His Word, then I have a peace that surpasses all understanding. A peace that the world cannot appreciate and the world does not possess. I tell you, when I see what wisdom does for me and it makes me blessed and happy, you see the tree of life and happy, listen, are all who retain her. I want that. Can you imagine if somebody, you ever heard somebody say, if you could bottle that and sell it, if there's something that you could purchase with money, that somebody said, listen, it'll make you happy, you'll live longer, you'll have a happier marriage, you'll be at peace, you'll do good to others. Somebody would say, well, sign me up for that course. I want to take whatever that is. And what Todd is saying through Solomon is, listen, it's available to you. Just avail yourselves of that wisdom. So I want to know, where do I get it? How do I obtain this wisdom that does so much for me? Well, Job raised that question back during the patriarchal period of Job chapter 28. Job 28 in verse 12, he said, where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Flip over there in your Bibles, by the way. Go to Job chapter 28. In Job's discourse on wisdom. And I want you to notice, as we're going to lead up to what the Bible says about where we get it, here's what Job says. Number one, man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. That's just simply saying it's not found in human sources. I can't go down to a university and sign myself up to some man's course and get wisdom. Not true wisdom. It's not found among men. In fact, many times, man doesn't even know its true value. Not only that, it's not found by exploring the depths of the sea in verse 14. It can't be purchased with money. In verse 15, it can't be purchased for gold, nor can silver be weighed for its price. It can't be valued in the gold of Ophir and precious onyx or in sapphire. I mean, it's not something you can go down to Walmart and purchase. You can't order it on Amazon and have it shipped and be here by the end of the week. The point is, it's not found in men and it can't be bought. And so Job raises the question again. Look at verse 20. From where then does wisdom come? And where is the place of understanding? Well, here's the answer that comes back. And I think it fits well with the book of Proverbs. And that is, true wisdom is found, first of all, in fearing the Lord. Look at Proverbs chapter Job chapter 28 before you leave there. Job 28 and in verse 12. And what he said in Job 28 and verse 28, when he said, and the man, he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. What Job has gone through, and he's tried to make the point, it can't be found here, it can't be found in this location, you can't buy it, but I tell you what, you can find it. It's found in fearing and respecting God and listening to Him. That's where wisdom is found. In the book of Psalm, chapter 111, or the 111th Psalm, and in verse 10, here is the statement that is made. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments, and His praise endures
forever.
The word beginning is exactly our same word that was found in Proverbs 4 and verse 7 when we began. I like the translation of the New Living Translation that said, "The fear of the Lord is the foundation of true wisdom." In other words, that is the beginning point. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown, in commenting upon this passage, said, "And hence love and fear of such a God is the chief element of true wisdom." You want to know where to find wisdom? You want to know what the foundation point is? It's found in fearing God. And that's sort of the foundation that's laid. You know, anytime you learn something, you have to learn the foundation principles before you can build on it. That's true for talking about math. You know, you can't teach somebody, you don't start out in kindergarten trying to teach somebody calculus, do you? You know what they've got to learn before they can learn calculus? Well, first of all, they need to learn their numbers. If you don't know your numbers, then you know what? You can't learn the higher math. But then after you learn the numbers, you've got to learn how to add them. You've got to learn to subtract them. And then you might learn about algebra. And it goes on. But you don't start at the difficult. You've learned the foundation first. I think what Solomon is saying is, let me give you a foundation upon which everything is going to be built. If you don't know this principle, nothing else is really going to matter. You've got to fear God. We talked about that was just last week in Psalm chapter 34, what that means to fear God. To reverence and respect Him, to care about what God has to say. Proverbs 2 and verse 6 says, "The Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth come knowledge and understanding." I think basically this is the point that's being made. You ever heard somebody give advice to another person? Maybe you've given advice to someone about something. And the response that you get back as you give that advice is, "I don't care what you have to say." That is that as they listen, in other words, the wisdom you're giving me, the input, it doesn't have any impact. I don't care what you think. You know, there are people that respond that way to God. That when it comes to the wisdom that comes from God, they don't care. And the reason they don't care is because they don't fear the Lord. However, when one fears God and sees what all God has done for them, when they truly want to please Him, then the next question is, "Lord, what would You have me to do? What is Your advice?" You are the all-wise. You are the almighty. You are wiser than I am. Your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. Your ways are higher than my ways. Lord, what would You have me to do? And whatever it is, we're willing to do it. Why? Because it's built on that foundation that I fear God. I reverence Him. It's what our whole spring meeting really was about with Brother Bronger. But that's the foundation point. That's where it begins. True wisdom is found by fearing the Lord. And then it's found, once I fear God, in realizing that God's commandments are wise. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 6. God is speaking through Moses to the people as He is preparing to die, and they're going to enter the promised land. And He's telling them, when you get into this land and you settle down, you need to be careful to do things just like I told you to do. Keep My law. Keep My commandments. And this is what He said, verse 6. "Therefore be careful to observe them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of all the peoples who hear all these statutes and say, surely this nation is a wise and an understanding people." Why would they act that? Why would they say, these people are wise? They have an understanding that we don't have. It's because they were keeping the commandments of God. He said, "My commandments, My instruction, this is your wisdom." It is wisdom to follow God's commandments because God's commandments are good and right. You ever given somebody bad advice? I think most of us probably at some point in time have given somebody some advice that turned out not to be the best in the world. That, and I'm not talking about necessarily even advice that led to sin or wickedness. But, you know, I've had people ask me now, "What would you do in this circumstance?" And I say, "Well, this is how I would approach it." And then maybe they come back later and say, "I've just got a mess on my hands now." That way, and maybe it was because the advice wasn't good. Maybe they didn't follow it as it was given. But sometimes we give bad advice. I think all of us do. Maybe we'd go back in retrospect and say, "You know what? I would change that if I could." But do you know when God gives advice, He never gives bad advice? When God gives instruction, you can trust it. It is always right. In the book of Psalm 119 and 172, he said, "My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness." Some translations just say, "All your commandments are right." Can you tell me which of God's commands is wrong? Can you tell me which of God's commands, when you've ever followed them, when you've ever done what God told you to do, that it wasn't the right thing to do? And when God says a soft answer turns away wrath in Proverbs 15 and verse 1, it may sound counterintuitive to everything that's in me. Because maybe our reaction is, if you're going to get loud, you know what? I can get louder. I can get pretty loud. And I can shout louder than you, and I can get angrier than you. Maybe we think that if I'm going to defeat this person that's angry, then I'm going to have to be angrier and louder than they are. And yet, you know what God said? God said a soft answer turns away wrath. You know what we find? God's ways, right. He knew what He was doing when He gave that instruction, when He told us what to do. When God says avoid the way of the immoral woman because your paths lead to hell, God knew exactly what He was saying. Every instruction that God has given for a reason, and man is always better off when he follows it, not just in eternity, but also in the here and the now. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 24, the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as it is this day. In other words, when God gave a command, God never gives instruction with the idea of just making arbitrary rules. If we open up our Bibles and we think, well, God just gave a rule just to make a rule, then we don't know very much about the character of God. When God gives instruction, it's always for our benefit and for our good, and because we need it. Whether it's when we worship together. You know, when God commands us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but be here every time the doors are open, I might look at that and say, well, why do I need to do that? Let me tell you, God didn't give that instruction because He needs our worship. He gave us that instruction because He knows that we need to worship Him. We need to be reminded of the Word of God. We need to gather around the Lord's table. I need to be reminded of His death and His burial and His resurrection. I need that. Now, that's not to minimize the fact that when we worship, it's about praising and honoring the Lord. But my point is, when God gives instructions like that, He does it because He knows what's good for us. And we need to look, when we look at God's Word, whether I understand it or not, I need to realize that every command and every instruction is for my benefit, and there's wisdom then to be gained in doing what God said. It always works out better when I do that. Didn't it work out better for you? When you look back in your life and you see times where things were the hardest or you were the lowest, isn't it oftentimes been that for that moment you put God out of your mind? You decided to live your own way as opposed to doing things God's way. God's way is right. How do I get this wisdom? Well, it starts by fearing the Lord. And then it begins when I decide I'm going to keep His commandments. I'm going to do what God told me to do. As we said, Revelation 22 and verse 14, as well as other passages, would point that principle out. From childhood, Paul Timothy had known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make him what? Wise unto salvation. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15. So I want this wisdom. So I learned to fear God. I respect God. I want to please God. And so I say, God, tell me what you would have me to do. But also wisdom is found in numbering our days. I want you to go in your Bibles to the book of Psalm 90 and verse 12, where he said, "So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." I think the psalmist there draws a link between a recognition of our frailty and our mortality and our getting of wisdom. In other words, when we're living for the here and the now, when we're living like we are assured of a tomorrow, where we're living like we're going to live forever, we're not very wise. We might think about the rich fool who in Luke chapter 12 tore down his barns and he built greater barns, and he said, "I'm going to set back for years and I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry." And he didn't realize that there was a time that was coming when his soul was going to be required of him. You think that was a very wise man? He was successful, by the way. Success in this world doesn't mean you're wise. Not in a biblical sense. But he was living for the here and the now, and he lived like he was going to live forever. And yet that very night, his soul was required of him. Wisdom is found when I learn of my own mortality. And I realize that my life here is a preparation for a time that is to come. Every one of us, if we're honest, would say that if we were living for the here and the now, we would live our lives different than if we live them with eternity in view. And that's why the Bible says we've got to realize that there is a time coming. It's in Proverbs, Psalm 90 and verse 12, that our life is going to end, and we've got to recognize that. How often do you pray, by the way, like David did in Psalm 39 and verse 4, Lord, make me to know my end and what the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. You ever offer that prayer? When we feel like, particularly when we're young, like we're going to be here forever and we're thinking about, do you ever pray, God, help me to recognize what are the end of my days? Help me to realize how frail I am, that my days are but a hand's breadth. That's why Solomon made what is a very unusual statement in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 7 in verses 2 and verse 3 when he said, it is better to go to the house of mourning than the house of feasting, for this is the end of all men. And the living will take it to heart. In other words, it's good to go to a funeral. It's good to go to a funeral home. Why? Because we're reminded of our frailty. I know people. Now, my children have been around death from the time they were born. Sometimes we took them to the funeral home more than we seemed we went to the worship at times. I mean, it just seemed one right after the other. And I've known people that, particularly when their children, they said, well, we don't like to take them to the funeral home. I'll tell you, children have to learn eventually that, you know what, life comes to an end. This is not all there is. And that we have got to live our life in view of the fact that we are frail. And when I go to a funeral, particularly when you go to a funeral of somebody that's close to you. You know, you can go to funerals and you can go to funerals. And what I mean by that, I've been to funeral homes, and I'm sure you have too, where you pull up and you say, I'm going to run in here and I've got to speak to somebody real quick. You ever done that? And the person that's there that is being remembered, I don't know them. I've never met them in this life. And we go in and we see somebody we work with or somebody we've known, and we shake their hand and we tell them, I'm thinking about you, I'm sorry, and we're on our way. And that oftentimes doesn't have that great of an impact on us. And then there are funerals where we go when we stand at the funeral of a parent that we can remember when they were once the strong individual that provided for us everything that we had. Or maybe it's somebody that's our own age that we went to school with. Or maybe it's somebody younger than we are. But moments like that remind me that's going to be me. And because that's going to be me right now, I need to prepare for that time. I've got to get ready for it. And that's why I think the psalmist in Psalm 90 said, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. It changes our outlook in life. It changes what's important to us. It changes how I live day to day because I'm preparing not for what I'm going to do tomorrow, but for where I'm going to be in eternity. You want to get wisdom that does so much for us? Then number your days. Realize how frail you are. And that there's a time coming, life is but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Life's going to pass quickly. And for those that are young here, whatever that might mean, it may seem sometimes like life goes so slow. But talk to somebody here that's older, and they'll tell you it seemed like yesterday they were where you are. Seemed like yesterday they were beginning a family and they were taking their children home from the hospital, and now their children are grown and now they've got grandkids or maybe great grandkids. And I tell you what, that time passed so quickly, you got to take advantage of the time you have to influence those that are closest to you in the right way. Number your days. Parents, you want your children to grow up and be wise? The rod and reproof give wisdom. Proverbs 29 and verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but the child left to himself brings his mother to a shame. Solomon has a great deal to say about the rod, but we want our children to be wise too. And children are not born wise. In fact, I think that's what Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 22 and in verse 15 when he said, "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him." Children don't inherently have wisdom. They don't inherently know what's important and not important, what decisions they should make. And it's our job as parents to help guide them in that right way. How do I do that? Well, the rod and reproof give wisdom. And I think there's two parts to that. I'm not going to belabor this point. But there's rod and there's reproof. And let me say this. I believe very firmly as I study through the Bible and by some experience that one without the other will not impart wisdom. The rod without reproof does not give wisdom. And what I mean by that, you can take your child and you can wear them out every time they misbehave and they won't be wise unless you take some time to give some instruction right along with it. They need to understand why, don't they? They need to understand the why of the discipline. That's the reproof. That's the instruction. But I also believe, particularly in young children, that the instruction apart from the rod is ineffective. It takes both for children to grow up and ultimately to value the wisdom that they need to. The rod and reproof give wisdom. And finally, let me just say that wisdom is in Christ. If we come to the New Testament, Colossians 1, verses 2 to verse 3 says, "In Christ is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Well, I tell you what, if all wisdom is in Christ, you know how much wisdom is outside of Christ? Is outside of His Word, is outside of the Bible, not a word of it. It may seem plausible, it may seem right, I think is what Paul's telling the brethren at Colossae, but if it's outside of Christ, it's not wisdom. And pray for wisdom. Get into the Bible and study, develop that respect for God, come to know His Word, and then pray. How often do you pray, "God, give me wisdom? I've studied your Word. I've done my Bible reading for the day. Give me the wisdom now to make application of that in my life. Give me the wisdom to live by your Word. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given him." Literally, my understanding is, out of the Greek language, is it's literally, "Let him keep on asking." And I don't think James in James chapter 1 is saying, "Here is a one-time request that I'm going to make to God. God, give me wisdom. Now I have wisdom, and now I can forget about it." But I think really what James is saying is that all through life, there are moments when I need the wisdom that comes from God. And throughout my life as a Christian, I need to keep on asking. There are times that as a parent, decisions have to be made, and we need to get down on our knees and we need to say to the Lord, "I've read through your Word, and give me the wisdom now to make the right decisions when it comes to being a parent. Lord, let me make the right decisions about discipline. Let me make the right decisions about..." And ask God to give us the wisdom. There may be decisions we need to ask God's wisdom for as it relates to our finances, as it relates to all areas of our life. We know the biblical principle, then say, "God, help me make application. Give me the wisdom." And God may give that through another individual. It's certainly not a miraculous thing. He may give it through the teaching of the Word. But you know, Solomon was commended because he asked for wisdom. And God will commend us too when we have that same attitude. As we close, let us make this point. If you seek wisdom, then you'll find wisdom. You know, when I look at that, I think, I want that. I want that badly. But sometimes we say we want something, but we really don't want it. There was one lesson I think that Brother Bronger presented, I think it was Sunday night. Remember that, do you want to be made well? In other words, we say, but do we really want to invest the time that's necessary to come to know God's Word? Here's my point. If you go over to Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 10, Proverbs chapter 10, verses 1 to 10. Turn over there in your Bible. This will be the last passage, I believe, that we use here this evening. Here's what Solomon is saying. Solomon is saying, if you truly want this wisdom that does all of these things for you, you can have it. I mean, but it takes some effort. It takes some seeking. Look at Proverbs chapter 2. "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding." In other words, if you listen and you really apply yourself, if you cry for discernment, lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver, search for her as hidden treasure, then, listen, you will understand the fear of the Lord. For the Lord gives wisdom, and His mouth come knowledge and instruction. And so the point is here, if you look for it, guess what? You'll find it. If you want it. If you want that wisdom, what Solomon is telling his son, it's not something that is beyond your grasp. It's not something that's too difficult for you to understand. It is not something that is available only to a select few. What Solomon is telling his son, it's right here. The question is what? Do you really want it? Do you really want it? And if we want it, then we can find it. And so as we go through the book of Proverbs in our scripture reading, I'm not going to be here next week, as I said, so we're not going to have a lesson through Proverbs. But you will see wisdom that is given all through the book of Proverbs. Wisdom about my tongue. Wisdom about anger. Wisdom about being a good husband, being a good wife. How do I deal with my children? How do I deal with fools? I mean, over and over again throughout the book of Proverbs, He's giving us wisdom. And as God tells us, here's how you need to conduct and live your life. Will you listen? Will I listen? And if we do, I think we'll find out that God's way is the best way right here. And certainly it's the best way for eternity. Get your songbook out. All things are ready. The Lord has done His part. The question is, are you ready and are you willing to render obedience to the gospel this evening? If you're not a Christian, become one by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. Become a child of God. Listen to the Lord, fear Him, and keep His commandments, and you will be wise. Or maybe there's somebody that's obeyed but has wandered away from the Lord and needs to come back. No matter what your need is, take advantage of the opportunity provided. Respond in obedience, even right now, as together we stand and we sing.